This from Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. In the King James Version, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Introduction. The Christian experience answers some of the questions most people ask about what it means to be a Christian. What do I have to do? Where do I start? What should I expect? Why should I go to church? Can I trust people in church? Why is there so much suffering in the world? There are two camps that will be discussed in this book while discussing Christianity: the milk and the meat of the word. If you aren't familiar with the expression, the milk, it represents new or baby Christians who are just starting out in their relationship with Christ and need to feed on the milk of the Bible. The meat represents the mature Christians who are established in their relationship with Christ and feed on the meat of the Bible, which is its deeper meaning. The walk with Christ can be confusing for new Christians, and mature Christians can become complacent or even misguided. Our goal in writing The Christian Experience is to discuss the different aspects of Christianity, and for the reader to come away with a more in-depth understanding of the subject matter. It is not intended to offend anyone or represent the absolute authority of what we as the authors believe is the only and absolute path to Christianity. On that note, if you are offended by a topic in this book, then it probably is speaking to your heart. Take a knee and examine your walk with Christ. All aspects of the Christian experience are biblically based and meant to encourage new Christians and at the same time edify mature Christians. Though this book cannot possibly cover everything, it will help you focus on a few rudimentary and a few in-depth topics, and hopefully give you a more insightful perspective to help with your personal walk of faith in Christ. As with all aspects of the Bible and our walk with Christ, we should follow Paul's word to Timothy. This from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, King James Version, it reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Chapter 1, A New Beginning. Congratulations, Christian! Welcome to the family! Whether you are young or old, the first few years of your salvation are your baby years. Much like our natural lives, we all start out getting our nourishment from mother's milk. The first thing that you will desire to do is give back to Christ for the wonderful gift of love and forgiveness that He has just given to you. The number one rule that you should remember is not to take up a cross that you cannot bear. We will talk about that later. I won't bore you with rudimentary advice about crawling, then walking, and all the things that everyone else writes about. As a newborn Christian, just focus on you and your own relationship with Christ. You may ask, how do I do that? The answer is easy: prayer and study. Prayer and study are not just a daily exercise in devotion of the heart, but serve as a building up of yourself to your newfound Lord and Savior. I can best equate it to going to the gym. You can't walk in on the first day and bench press 300 pounds. Not that I ever could do that, but the principle is that you build up to it slowly over time. Where do I begin? The first book of the Bible that I recommend that you read and study is the book of John. And don't move on with your own personal studies until you have read it from beginning to end and understand what Jesus is saying about Himself, Father God, faith, eternal life, and most importantly, the divinity or uniqueness of Christ. The book of John is considered by many as the most spiritual book in the Bible. Prayer is essential. Communing with God in prayer is vital to continue to grow your relationship with Christ. Basically, think of it like this. When you were not saved, you filled your life with things of the world. Sports, bars, dating, working out, whatever the hobby or vice may be. Other than going to a bar in this example, These are not necessarily bad things. But anything in excess is going to rob you of your growth and experience with Christ. This is an all-or-nothing prospect. You can't be like I was when I walked away from Christ and keep one foot in the bars and one foot in church. Been there, done that. It does not work as a matter of personal experience and is not biblically correct. Jesus said, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." This from John 15, verse 19, King James Version. Once you make this decision to follow Christ, you will notice your friends start to disappear. They will literally say that they're sorry, and you will never hear from them again. They will put you under a microscope and criticize you and judge you. You will even have family used as means of spiritual attacks against you. Still think that Christianity is just another religion? I think not. Jesus is the real deal, my young Christian friend. If it wasn't so serious and such a deep spiritual matter, then there would be no Christ, resurrection, and redemption. I want you to know. I want you to understand. Jesus gives us this warning. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Take heart, though, and realize that Jesus continues to say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This from John 10, verses 10 and 11, King James Version. Let us fellowship together. The next thing that I want you to do is find a church to hear the word and fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you got saved in a church, it sounds like that is a good place to start. If you got saved privately or in a one-on-one experience with God, then you absolutely have to find a good church. This is where the fun begins. The rule here is to remember and stay focused on putting your faith in God and not people. People will fail you every time. It is very easy to do what you have always done and pursue the obvious. If you go to a church and there is an inspirational person at the forefront, it can be very easy just to follow them and get lost in wondering what God wants you to do. The key word here is wait. The easiest and least confusing ministry to pursue in a new church is to just help. Help clean the bathrooms, help clean the kitchen, or mow the grass. These works are fantastic ways to start sowing good seeds of faith and growth. These types of help ministries are where any good church needs you the most. Remember I mentioned picking up a cross that you are unable to bear? This is the place where that comes into play. You may want to head up an opening for a youth group or a Sunday school, but believe me, you are not ready for that and probably will not be for a few years. Patience and demonstrating good stewardship is key to show the church your abilities and where you are willing to work to help out. Just remember that even someone that cleans a toilet can witness to a visitor, but most of all, God sees your heart and dedication to minister to others. When you are ready, God will move you in the direction that you need to go. If you try and take on too much, then the cross that you are trying to pick up may be too big and too heavy, and pretty soon you have to set it down and walk away out of frustration. We are going to talk about the armor of God later when we get more into the meat of the word, where you learn how to fight your battles and live strong for the Lord. Chapter 2. Get churched up. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, verse 25, King James Version. And now from the New Living Translation. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. What we will be covering in this chapter is church, what it is and why you should go. We will be touching on different aspects of church attendance and what you should look for in the right type of church and what to expect once you are there. As previously mentioned, if you were saved at a church service, then the obvious place to start attending church is where you accepted Christ. It goes without saying that if the church is saving souls, it's on the right track. Otherwise, the person that led you to Christ will most likely invite you to their church. Anything else I like to refer to as saved in transit, like you were attending a crusade or concert, or watching a gospel program. I think you get the idea. You just need to find a place to learn more and to grow. The first bit of advice that I want you to follow more than anything else is to find a church where they teach the Word. I have always favored teachers over preachers as a personal choice. Don't get me wrong, a good old-fashioned sermon is good for the soul. I'm referring to a church where they literally dissect a scripture and break it down into its elementary parts. Not only teaching what scripture means, but why it means what it says, letting the Bible define itself. Worship is important as well. A good church will allow singing and praising as part of their services. You may think that it's not important, but let's look at what the Bible tells us about singing and worshiping. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 16, King James Version. Singing to the Lord with grace in our hearts. God loves to hear us sing praises to Him. Throughout the Word, God's children sing His praises. The intimacy involved in harmonizing your hearts to God in one accord is literally meeting God on a spiritual plane. As earlier, the easiest example of why you should go to church is equating it to going to the gym. If you only go to the gym on Easter and Christmas, you're not going to make a lot of ground if you are trying to stay fit. Going to church is much the same thinking. If you only go to church on Easter and Christmas, then you will not stay fit and will not grow your relationship with God. The opposite is true as well. A lot of people will go to the gym but only end up talking with pals at the end of the front counter and not lifting a single weight. Really, what's the point? There are a lot of people going to church every week or even multiple times a week and never opening their Bible. Once again, pointless. Like anything else, you get out of church what you put into church. Church goes beyond the natural and follows the principle of reaping and sowing, or putting it in natural terms, you get what you give. Going even further, a good church will build each other up and feed off of each other. And what you end up with when it's done the right way is a wonderful integration of glorious growth and strength, teaching each other, giving each other strength, encouraging each other. Adopt a goal with your personal growth in a good church that produces all of these traits. Ask yourself every time you go to church, who can I bless today? Taking one step at a time. What I started praying and meditating on when I started going back to church is this simple goal. I will crucify my natural mind and resurrect my spiritual mind. Consistently and earnestly going to a good church will help you accomplish this. You have to be patient, though. This doesn't happen overnight. I personally was such a spiritual train wreck that I purposely didn't get involved with any ministries in my church for 3 years. I did start cooking at men's breakfast a little sooner than that, but that is all. I enjoy cooking breakfast. So I volunteered to cook pancakes. I found myself still cooking several years later. It is a unique calling and a good place to start. You should always start out light and small on your quest to fulfill your role in a church ministry. Some people want to start off being the assistant senior pastor when they don't even know how to find Genesis 1:1. Not a good idea. Simply put, becoming involved in a ministry at church is much like learning any new trade. You must apprentice first to learn and gain experience. The added ingredient, which is more important, is you must gain spiritual depth as you grow. Simply learning a ministry is not enough. You must grow to fulfill your calling. Believe it or not, cleaning bathrooms, housekeeping, is one of the most rewarding ministries that you can get involved with. First impressions are everything. Nothing says I don't want to come back more than a dirty bathroom or a kitchen. It is one of the most selfless offerings that you can make, and one that will bring you closer to God than you can imagine. The key word here is humility. If you have the mindset that the church should pay for cleaning, and you can't soil your hands with such a menial task, then you are not ready to take on a ministry. On that note, you also may be called to become involved with a totally unrelated ministry. For example, you may be an electrician by trade, but in high school you played the drums. Always leave yourself open to God's will and perfect plan. Be patient and learn to wait. The enemy doesn't want you to go to church. He knows that if he can keep you weak and uninterested in God, that he can maintain a foothold in your life. As long as he has you distracted from church, then he can keep you distracted from God. That is the first thing that happened to me in my own personal testimony. Never forget what Jesus said. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10, verse 10, King James Version. I'm not going to mince words. Satan, the fallen angel Lucifer, hates you. He doesn't just want to kill you. He wants to steal your joy and make you suffer. Never forget that. He is so angry and jealous of us because God created us in His own image that He wants to use us to get back at God. In some of my sermons, I equate this to the same thing that the mob does when someone goes against them. One quote from a movie says it well. I don't think you understand the gravity of your situation. If you cross me, then I will not just come after you. I will come after your entire bloodline. This is paraphrased, but illustrates the point. The enemy can't directly hurt God, so he is going after God's bloodline. Going to church and seeking those things of God and growing in His Word helps you better prepare for the battle.